Zman is winding down, but one of the hopes during the Ben Azmanim is intense Chazar. So the Chazar, the Sigyas Vidah, the Chazar, the Shiurim. I have a very intense written Bechina from Daf Beis through Daf Bava Menel. So I think if that's something you would take advantage of, we can have incentives, we can have Svarim and gift cards, and maybe work on your GPA, just to elevate it a little bit, something to, the dean's been very flexible about these things. Simrit Hashem, so if you're chazin, you'll do, when we will have, I wouldn't say it's mandatory, but when I said Shimon Beitzi years ago in a different yeshiva, everybody took the bechina. You should see it's this chazar is. You see what to do. I think it could be wonderful, wonderful opportunity. Mm-hmm. So, okay, Simrit Hashem. Okay. Above Meralef, the Gemara discusses the case of a froach shenola biyantif. Not the case of a beitza shenola, but simply an egg which is laid. But rather, the chick now is hatched. And in such a case, Rav says that's also. That would be a consideration of mukta, and Shmuel Vitor Rabbi Yochanan says that that is mutter. Why indeed should that be mutter? So incredible, the Gemara says, no, that holo mater atzmo bishchita. Something changed when all of a sudden now this chick is hatched, all of a sudden now there's a heter shchita, and therefore that is going to resolve this issue as well. Rashi comments, you know what, as a result of its birth, now, it is mutter b'achila al yedei shchita, and Rashi writes that migo da askenaha, and just like shchita will be matir any yisr, it will also resolve the issue of muktza as well. Well, so we'll have to see exactly what is this migo, what is this hoil that the Gemara is speaking about. Tosus is immediately bothered by the following, that those who say that it's mutter in our Gemara is Shmuel v'item Rabbi Yochanan. So Tosus is bothered by a critical issue. Shmuel, Rabbi Yochanan, they hold like Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon maintains, Beit Zedav Beis, that in Muktza, less than Muktza. So if the reason indeed this is Usr is because of Muktza, so then obviously that if you hold in Muktza, this clearly should be Mutter, and you don't have to come on to this other Svara of Matir Atzmo Bishchita. So Tosus says two terutzim. The first terutz is, Enochinami, that's true. Matir atzmo b'shchita is aliba de Rabbi Yehuda. If you deny muktza, less than muktza, of course it's mutter. Of course it's mutter. But even if one is going to argue that yesh muktza, but nonetheless this will be an exception based on this concept of hoil. Well, and then Tosus points out as follows that no, it's true that Reb Shimon denies certain cases of muktza. But there are other cases of muktza that even Reb Shimon agrees clearly are considered to be aser, like cases of groger sutzimukim, and therefore Tosus writes, that's true here as well. This is a form of muktza, nefroach shenola, that even Rabbi Shimon will maintain that that is aser, and therefore you have to come on to another reason to maintain that this indeed should be mutter. So this we discussed, you know, the sugyan daf beis amud aleph, the sugyan daf ches amud aleph, where the Gemara has a havamina, where the Gemara says that, look, if a beitza shenola is aser because of muktza, that should be dependent on Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. The Gemara says that no. Here we're talking about a case of nola. And even if one should maintain that ein muktza, but nonetheless, everyone is going to agree that nola is considered indeed to be aser. Why indeed would one distinguish? We pointed out as follows. It's not that Rabbi Shimon denies the concept of muktza, the concept of achana, the pasuk zehichino seshayavil, but one could argue as follows that Rabbi Shimon will maintain that sometimes the chayfetz is mechin es atzmo. And even if my intent is I'll use it for A as opposed to using it for B, but you know what? The chayfetz indeed is mechin es atzmo. If I say this kli is min hamuchan, so therefore that will extend even to shivrei kelim. If the shivrei kelim have no utility whatsoever, then absolutely not. But you know what? If it's rayu l'malacha, even if it's not me'ein malachto, the chayfetz is considered to be mechin es atzmo. And if that really is true, so it's a difference in degree. Rabbi Yehuda maintains that the hachana is more specific. We call that hachana sagavra. The only time the hachana will work if it's considered to be me'ein osa malacha. So you know that if you have a bowl that breaks, but you can still use it as a bowl, then that doesn't undermine the hachana. But if you have to come on to another hishtamshus that was not anticipated when the kli was all, so therefore Rabbi Yehuda says that's no good. And Rabbi Shimon says the chol sorchechem, that as long as it's rayu l'malacha, that is considered to be sufficient because it's mechen es atzmo. If Rabbi Shimon agrees that indeed it's mechen es atzmo, b'med ramamurim, when the kli is be'en, when there is a form of hachana, let's assume you have a case of nola. Now, how can you say that the chetz is mechen es atzmo? Mechen es atzmo, the beitza was mechina es atzmo. That was not yet laid. Oh, so that's very good. The Gemara says, even according to Rabbi Shimon, that denies muktzah. But nonetheless, it's not an absolute denial of muktzah. The chetz is mechin es atzmo. That wouldn't apply in a case of nola, in nola. Wow, so that sounds absolutely great. But the Gemara rejects that, no? The Gemara that Beis Malach tells us, no, that's not true. Muktzah and nola is going to go together. And if lesley muktzah, lesley nola. Why lesley muktzah? Lesley nola. That was a perfect svara. That it's not Reb Shimon disagrees. Reb Shimon maintains that obviously hachana is necessary. It's just that sometimes the hachana is supplied. It's implied. That's not true in the case of nola. Satosus da Beis Malach immediate comments that no, in principle, that argument is absolutely, absolutely compelling. And if you have something that is an absolute davar chadash, it's a bria chadasha, even Rabbi Shimon would agree that it is forbidden because of muktza. But who says that's true in a case of a beitza shenolda? What do you mean? Nolad is not considered to be leida? It's not considered to be a davar chadash? No, Sotosis, absolutely not. This egg was not created today. The egg was just released. And who says that releasing the egg is considered to be something that is not subject to any form of hachana? So even Rabbi Shimon agrees that hachana is necessary, and Tosus distinguishes between nolad gamur as opposed to nolad she'eno gamur. Nolad she'eno gamur, Rabbi Shimon says yes, nolad gamur absolutely not, and Tosus says the sugya, erev and daf mem with beis, what exactly is this case when it rains? What was the status of the moisture when it was enveloped in the cloud? Maya be'eva mivla b'li. Now that it's released. Do we consider that to be a davar chadash? Do we not? Therefore, that's a case of nolad she'eno gamur. The rainwater is just simply being released. The moisture indeed exists, and therefore, that is not considered to be the type of change of state that Reb Shimon would say that is something that is not subject to hachana. And the Tosos on Daf Ches Amud Aleph, because there the Gemara seems to spell this out. The Gemara says the following: Our Mishnah, Efer Kira Muchan. Efer Kira Muchan. What exactly does that mean? When Yontif began, you had logs, and all of a sudden you fuel a fire. Now you have ash. How in the world can you say that ash is Muchan? How can you say that's true? The Gemara says you're absolutely right. Only time that's true is if it is still absolutely, absolutely hot. It has to be royal litzlo spobetza. If the ash is piping hot, you know what? Hot ash is a log. That's something that fuels a fire. But enochinami, it's true. If the ash would cool off, you can't connect the dots. How can you connect the hachana of the log to the cold ash that has an absolutely different purpose? Cold ash you use for kisi hadam. You're not going to use it to cook or to fuel the fire in any shape or form. So the Gemara says, you're right. That's absolute, absolute muktzah. Tosus is bothered. What do you mean? This is machlokas Rabbi and Rabbi Shimon. Oh, so Tosus naf ches amad aleph. No, that's not true. This is a case of nolad gamur. This is nolad gamur. Egg is released. That's nolad she'eno gamur. Rain is released. That's nolad she'eno gamur. Here you're talking about the transition from Eitzim to Efer. In such a case, that's nolad gamur, and even Rabbi Shimon indeed would agree that is the case. And that was Tosus then punchline. So if that really is true, you should not be able to move ash l'chol alma, and that would make things very difficult, because whenever they would cook, the oven was absolutely filthy. In order to go into continued cooking, you had to go ahead and move away the debris. That's what Tosa says that you see tilta mukta, not other forms of mukta, but tilta mukta, not hishtamshus, daf dalit, certainly not achila, daf beis, but tilta mukta is mutta litzara chochanefesh. That was the hagdara that Tosa's gave. So Tosa's fascinating, he has two days. What would you say about the case of Ephroach? Would I consider that to be similar to Beisa? In which case, according to Rabbi Shimon, it's mutta. And the only reason you have to come on to a whole matratzum b'shkita is a leave it to Rabbi Huda, or what he argued as follows, no, that certainly is not true. An egg is released, I understand. That's considered nolet sheno gamor. Rain is released, that's nolet sheno gamor. In a froach shenolad, right? All of a sudden now, right? It's a vibrant being, and previously it was an egg. So in such a case, that's considered to be a case of absolute nolet gamor. And if it's nola gamor, that should be usher even aliba to Rabbi Shimon. And therefore, even though Shmuel, Rabbi Yochanan, agree with Rabbi Shimon, the starting point, the default, the muskarishan is the frock, indeed should be usher. Now you have to come on to another reason, the hatir. And that reason is, hoel umatir atzmo b'shita. Well, that's the chiddush Tosfos here, and davav amar aleph. If you look in the Ramban and Mochamos, gimel beis, davav amar aleph, the Ramban writes a stunning chiddush. You know what? No. Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan hold like Rabbi Shimon. Okay? And Ephroach Shenolad is like a Beitza Shenolad. And therefore, there is no problem Muktza. There is no problem Muktza. Yeah, but why then do you have to come on to the reason of Matarasim B'Shita? Aliba to Rabbi Yehuda. No. Even Aliba to Rabbi Shimon. Because maybe there's an additional problem. Aside from the Muktza problem, maybe there's an additional problem with the case of In a froach shenolad. You have something that is contained within an egg, and all of a sudden it emerges. What exactly is that called? When you have something that's contained within, and all of a sudden it protrudes, it emerges. Mashkin shezavu. Rabbi Yitzchak, Gimel Madalit. Mashkin shezavu. Forget about a mukta issue. There is a gzeirah d'rabbanan of mashkin shezavu. If you have something that's contained within the holistic structure, it's contained within a whole, and all of a sudden now it is extracted. So that's a gzeirah, mashkin shezavu. Maybe I'll argue that's not necessarily true of a beitza shenolda, but in a froach, that the Ramban writes the Mochamos, that is also because of Mashkin Shezavu. Wow. So therefore, you don't have to assume it's Tosas Aliva to Rabbi Yehuda, or to assume that this is a case of Grokers of Smukin, but the Ramban writes this is a case of Mashkin Shezavu. And therefore, that should be Aser. What exactly is the Heter? The Heter. You have to come up to something else. Ho Matir Atzma B'Shchita. Matir Atzma B'Shchita is Matir Disra of Mashkin Shezavu. Not necessarily the Mukta issue, but a Mashkin Shezavu issue. Wow, that's the Chiddush of the Ramban in the Mochamos. And therefore, Tosfos' Kasha doesn't begin. Well, of course, Shmuel, Rabbi Yochanan, they can agree to Rabbi Shimon, but here, what is driving this Isser is Rabbi Yitzchak, Mashkin Shezavu. And therefore, in the Chanam, you need another time to be Mati. Let's assume Poshepshan. Not an issue of Mashkin Shezavu. This is a mukta problem. How exactly is mukta solved by hoel umatir atzma b'shchita? How exactly does that work? You know, this is something that was set aside apparently for non-use. And all of a sudden the answer is, yeah, but matir atzma b'shchita. So how does that work? Midit askan lahai, askan lahai. How exactly do you understand that? So the Or Sameach has a fascinating beer. Hilchos Yontif, Perek Beis, Halacha Gimel, the paragraph that begins, L'chein Nira. The beer of the Or Sameach kind of turns some things on its head, now, in order to understand what this means. There is a pasuk in Chumash, now, Bechinu Es Asher Yadi. You know what that means, that anything that you're going to use on Shabbos Yontif has to be designated for use. Hechinu Asher She'aviyu. Hachana, as opposed to Haktzah. Something which is Haktzah is set aside for non-use. something which was designated, obviously, that is mukhan, that is subject to hachan, it is mukhan, nibod yom. So haktsa would forbid, and hachana would permit. Pashav shat one mechora would think, beichin hashev yom means that the hachana is considered to be critical. The hachana is considered to be critical. The starting point is that whatever you use on Shabbos, Yom Tov has to be subject to hachana. What exactly do I mean? Do I really mean I have to go over to every food right in the kitchen and say, this? No, no. Sometimes if something is roi lakach, so that's also considered to be a form of hachana. And the details, Rabbi and Rabbi Shimon, what happens if it undergoes that change? Hachana sagavra, hachana sachetza, good, but hachana is considered to be unnecessary. The Rosh Hashanah turns everything on its head in the following sense. Maybe the perspective should be the reverse. That if something exists and it's set aside for non-use, then it cannot be utilized on Shabbos and Yom Tov. It's not that the Hachana is matir, it's the Haktsa is oseh. Sometimes a little bit unclear. A Kli Rishon on Shabbos is aser, because Tosa says, defanos mechamamos. You know, the Kli is so hot, it intensifies the Rishon. And a Kli Sheni often is mutter, because defanos mekaros. No? So the fundamental in Hilchos Shabbos, Kli Rishon, Kli Sheni. You know, you leave the Tosa. Is it defanos mechamamos that's oser? Is it defanos mekaros that is mat? What if there are no defanos, no? No defanos whatsoever. A davar gush, no? You have a solid mass that is not contained in any kli whatsoever. And you take this solid mass and, you know, you put it on a plate. Is that called a kli rishon? Is that a kli sheni? You don't have defanos machamanos. You don't have defanos makaros, no? Ooh, that's the chumrah, no? To treat a davar gush like a kli rishon. If something is designated for non-use, haktsa, it's aser. If something is designated for use, hachana, it's mutter. Is hachana matir, or is it the haktsa is the osim? No? That's the chiddush that the Rosh Hashanah discusses, and the Rosh Hashanah assumes a chiddush. The haktsa is osim. The haktsa is osim. Min hastam, one could assume if something is fit, it's fit. But if a person sets aside something for non-use, that is considered to be asr. The pasuk says eichinim asr sheyavil, and therefore, that anything that exists, if it's set aside for non-use, it cannot go ahead and be used. Okay. That's the chiddush that the Rosh Hashanah writes. The haktsa is the osir. The haktsa is considered to be the osir. Wow. So Rosh Hashanah adds just an important requirement. You ready? V'davka b'hanach shahaya b'olam. When do we say that this is true? That, you know what? My mindset not to use this object is oser? You ready? Only if this object exists. Only if this object exists. You have an object that exists on Erev Shabbos and Erev Yom Tov, and I set it aside for non-use. Grogres, Tzimukim, maybe Tamar Diska, Tur LaRadya. You have something that exists and I set it aside for non-use. I'm not using it for this. The Haktsa is considered to be that which is Oseh. Something that exists and it's set aside for non-use. Wow. Are you ready? Something that does not exist is not subject to Hutzah. Well, we should think, wait, if it doesn't exist, it's not subject to Hachana, no? How can we make in something that's Davar Shel Bali Olam? If something doesn't exist, what do you mean that this was designated for non-use? This doesn't exist. And therefore, such a Kiddush, if you have something which is Mamish, a Davar Shel Bali Olam, Chashiv Ki'ilu Lo Bala Olam Klau Kodam Yantiv, it was not subject to haktsa, and therefore it can be used. Wow. Well, wait, so what about what we just discussed, not the Chesam Aleph, not like that. Eifer Kira. No. So Dor Sameach writes, Eifer Kira, it didn't exist. Eifer Kira did exist. It existed in a different form. When Yantif began, it existed as logs. And you know what? There was hachana that these logs should be used to fuel a fire. But obviously there was a haktsa that these logs should not be used for kisei hadam. It should not be used for ash. Oh, so that's a haktsa. That's a haktsa. Cool. The same thing is true, he writes, with the sugin ervin. Regarding, when a cloud goes up and releases its moisture and it rains, is that considered to be a davar chadash, is it not? And if something is an extreme davar chadash, that's a reason to be matir. Because something that literally was lo haya bali olam kodem yantiv. So therefore, it was not subject to hotzah. So if you have something unusual, that it is a birya chadasha, lo shayich mukta demi hikzo. It wasn't set aside for non-use in any shape or form. Wow. So the key to argue that a beitza shenolda may be aser, or maybe rainwater, or maybe Efer Kira, it's because it was a shift in form, but it did exist. But ironically, if you could have something in the extreme that didn't exist at all, so in such a case, literally, that's Parim Chadoshos Valakha, it was not subject to Hotza, to Haktza, and therefore it is considered Timote. Well, so that's the Rosh Hashanah's Biur. So in all those other cases, it was a shift in form. An egg was released, that something changed from being a piece of wood to now being ash, I understand. You know what would be a case in extreme? Not a Beitza Shenolda, but an Afroach. An Afroach, when Yantif began, it was an egg. Yeah, the philosopher, somebody used it, it was a domain, no? And all of a sudden now, it's hatched. It's a chai. No? What do you mean it's a chai? It's matir atzmo b'shchita. No? Realize that it was a change in state to the point that before it was aser, and now it's heter. Isser to heter. Matir atzmo b'shchita. There's no birya chadasha gedolim yizu, without invoking that run, no, but no. Birya chadasha gedolim yizu. And therefore, lo shayich mukta. That's the chiddush that the Gemara says of matira. It's not just a hole, it's not just a migo. The Gemara is just demonstrating that, you know what, that what's happening now is so revolutionary. A chicken is born. So in such a case, how can you say that this is something that was designated for non-use? Wow. And therefore, that indeed is considered the mukta. Mutter, because haktsa is considered to be the oser. And therefore, we could argue that this indeed is mutter. That's the chiddush of the Gemara. Well, they have the chiddush of Rosh Shlomo Zalman, Masechet Beitza, and Menchus Shlomo Masechet Beitza. In a footnote, he points out that using this reasoning of the Or Sameach, one could understand, right, a great chiddush that the Rama writes. Shin Yud, Sif Beis, it's based on Yerushalmi, based on Aram, where, let's say something is owned by a guy. Something is Sholakum, not Shol Yisrael. So the Yerushalmi has a powerful line, but take a look, now, Masechus Beitza, Paragimel, Halacha Beis. Yerushalmi writes that Ein Hagoy Tzorich Hachem. That which is Shol'akum does not require Hachana. It does not require Hachana. Well, the Ran quotes this Yerushalmi. The Ran in Shabbos, the very end of Perakol Kisvei, Rabdaf Mem Vav Medeis and Dab Yarif, the Ramaskel Asa, the Ran quotes this Yerushalmi. That which is Shol'akum does not require Hachana. Hachana, does not require Hachana. So the Rambam writes the following chiddush, that ein muktza b'shalakum, something with shalakum is not subject to muktza, af b'tzimukim of a grogris. That's the quote of the Rambam. Even in cases of tzimukim and grogris. How the case of the Gemara, grogris and tzimukim? No? Ein muktza b'shalakum. Ein muktza b'shalakum. Well, you know why this is such a chiddush? Is that really what the Yerushalmi means? That ein hagoy tzarachoche means that which is shalakim is not subject to, haktsa, not subject to hachana. You know what the context is? If you have something which is muktza machmas iser, and it's not usser for a goy, so why would you say that this is something that requires hachana? No, we have a hagdara of muktza machmas iser. This is something we're not allowed to use on Shabbos. We're not allowed to use anyantim. So therefore, it's set aside for non-use. It's set aside for non-use. You're not allowed to use it. A goy is not restricted. Why would you say that this object that belongs to a goy is set aside for non-use? Because it's an iser malacha. The goy's not bound by an iser malacha. Why would you say that it lacks hachana? What do you lack for? Very mistaber the Yerushalmi, no? That ein hagoy tzarach hachein means, you know what, if you have something that the only way it could be used on Shabbos Yantif is through malacha, for us, it's off limits. For a goy, it's not off limits. So obviously, that ein hagoy tzarach hachein. And therefore, it's not considered to be muktza. You know what this great chiddush the Rama is? Af b'tzimukin of a grogress. Af b'tzimukin of a Tzimuk gros is something entirely different, no? It has nothing at all to do with mukta machmas iser. You have something that, you know what, avchavav, that these are fresh fruits. I want dried fruits. So I go ahead and I put it on my roof. And, you know, it goes through stages. No, Rashi explains. You have fresh fruit, people eat that. Dried fruit, people eat. But they really don't eat spoiled fruit, no? So when you go ahead in the drying process, you know what? There's a step that it's not even royal achila. It's not even royal. It's not something you would typically eat. No? Before it dries, it like really withers, it spoils. That's grogris and tzimukim. Your marche biyadayim. When it comes to grogris and tzimukim, I would argue that ein hagoy sarach achein. No? Why is it relevant, Jew or not Jew? Something that was set aside for non-use does not mean according to bechinu. The chiddush of a guy is because who says it was set aside for non-use if it's muktza machmas iser and there's no iser malacha for the guy. But if it's muktza because it was set aside because it does not lend itself for use, why in the world should that make any difference at all? And yet the Rama writes that ein muktza b'shalakum af b'tzimukim of a guy. So Rav Shlomo Zalman writes in the footnote, now, Alpidivre or Sameach Habinose Psaka Shokharach Bhaga. With this Chiddush Lar Sameach, he says, I understand it. Isn't what the Rama says? That in order for something to be Muktza on Shabbos, you require a Haktza. And Haktza is Hechinos Hesheyaviyu. And the Rama understood Yerushalmi to mean that that concept, that mindset, that consciousness of Haktza is only Shol Yisrael and not Shol Akum. So therefore, if a guy puts something aside, al-pidin, that's not considered to be a haktza, not because it's mutter for the guy, it's aser for Yisrael. Haktza is the osir. Haktza is Yisrael is osir. And therefore, the Rama writes the Siddish, that ein muktza b'shalakum, even when it comes to cases of grogres utzimukim. Well, that's what Shlomo Zalman writes, the Chiddush of the Rosh Hashanah, that Haktza is the Oser. And Haktza being Oser, number one, means it has to exist. If it's Lo Ba'al Lo Yom, there's no Haktza. Even the further Kiddush, Yerushalmi, Haktza is an Oser, is Haktza Shal Yisrael, not Haktza Shal Akum. Okay? Rosh Shlomo Zalman, he continues and writes that maybe Ho Umatir Atza Beshchita, he writes the Chorev, maybe it means something very, very simple. Very, very simple. We have a concept of Migudis Katzai. That, you know what? Ben Hashmashos is the Koveya. what was is. What was is. The status that it retained at the beginning of Shabbos maintains itself. Maintains itself. Amigud is katsai. So even though, you know what, the flame went out, migud is katsai. Migud is katsai. You know what the yisod of migud is katsai means? That, you know what, it's fixed. It's constant. The status was already nikva. The whole assumption of migas katsoi means that, you know what, that, cool, that the way it is at the beginning of Shabbos is maintained throughout the duration of Shabbos. That's the yisod of migas katsoi. Okay, so then one could argue that shuvah beitza shenolda. You know what, it was designated for non-use before, and therefore that retains itself. Or maybe one could argue, no, that's only knowledge, you know, gamur, so really, I wouldn't say that that's true. What about a case of a fraud? One could really argue that, you know what, the current status is just the prior status being maintained, constant, fixed, set. Matratzo b'shrita. Matratzo b'shrita. Lahalacha, lahalacha. The status has so significantly changed from A to B, it would almost be a contradiction to say a heter shrita, but migud is katsai. A heter shrita means we're recognizing, no, b'chi ha'gavna, the Torah says that, you know what, this is exceptional. Even though typically speaking we assume that status is already determined, maintained, here that's not true. Here all of a sudden, dindaraisa, there's a heter shrita that was not true previously, and therefore you have to acknowledge, now, and once you acknowledge that that's true, therefore there's no longer a migud is katsai. So therefore, that you have a case of an afroach in such an instance, precisely because la halacha, the Torah recognizes that this is a new existence. So therefore, you don't apply the principle migud is katsai to say, but nonetheless it was forbidden during the time of Ben Hashemash. What? Maybe what is Pashup Shat in terms of Materasa Mashrita? So, or Sameach Echidish, it didn't exist. Rosh Shlomo Zalman, the significant, the change was so significant that you don't apply the principle of Amigdis Katsai. And, a Rishash in our Gemara, the Rishash. The Rishash just writes the following. But take a look at the Sugni Vamos, the Zaino Beis, the Chesam Aleph. I'd argue, take a look at Kedushin of Chafalet. Now, we have a concept of whole history, history. We have a concept of whole history, history. That, you know what, that's not so foreign. Sometimes you're right, that there's legitimate reason that something indeed should be asim, but the Torah is matir. And there are times, that when Torah creates a hetter, that the heter is not limited to that specific context, but a yesod of all history, history, that the matir expands, and that the Rosh Hashanah writes, thinks that's the yesod of matir aso b'shrita. The yesod is hoil the history, history, hoil the history, history. We discussed in the past, no? The sugya solution of Chabalev. Oh, with the Hagdar of the Rashba. With the Hagdar of the Rashba. The Gemara there discusses now the Sugya of Yifas Toar, where the Gemara tells us clearly, now that Yifas Toar is something that is Aser, but yet this is an accommodation. Lo Dibra Torah Ele Keneged Yitzahara. So the Gemara raises the fasting issue. Kohen Mahod Yifas Toar. Kohen Mahoi Fastor. I know this is true when it comes to Yisrael, but I say the Parashia Fastor applies even to a Kohen. So Rav says the following Chiddush. When it comes to Biri Shalna, of course it's Mutar. Of course it's Mutar. The question is, what about Biyashni? Why is that so significant? Also points out the following. Wait a second. That Biri Shalna, you understand, it's Matir. But part of the process of Yifastor is Gerus. Is Gerus. No? And a Kohen cannot marry a Gioris. Do I argue? Well, look, no one can marry a Yifas Torah typically. This is a Heter, And Rav's great Kiddush that will apply the principle of Hovishtar Yishtri. If the Torah is matter for Yisrael, it's going to be matter for a Kohen, even though you're dealing with an additional Yisr. That wasn't necessarily part, by definition, of the Heter of Yifaskama. Oh, so that Kiddush HaRash, Kiddush Daf Chafal from the Beis, raises the Hagdara. Now, when do you apply this principle? When do you apply the principle of Hovel v'ishtri ishtri? Hovel v'ishtri ishtri. And the Rashba throws out different models. When it comes, for example, to cases of Yibum, we certainly assume Hovel v'ishtri ishtri. Is there anyone that assumes that Yavam Yavaleh only allows for Birishon or Tchilas Via, and then they have to get divorced? Obviously not. The Pasuk says that, what do you mean, that part of Yibum's issues? Nases ki ishto l'chol davar. They remain married. They're birishona, birishnia. When it comes to Yibum, les man depalik. But the Rashi writes, I'll give you a case of Yibum where les man depalik in the opposite direction. And the Rashi quotes the sugi nivamos and dafav. Let's assume, for example, a Kohen dies, and the brother is a Kohen Gadol. So look, you know what? Yibum, yeah, but she's an almana. And a Kohen Gadol is not allowed to marry an Amana. If they were fully married, this was Min HaNisuin, she's also a Ba'ula, and a Kohen Gadol has to marry a Ba'ula. So the Gemara says, oh, that's pretty important. Now, when the brother died, Erisin or Erisin and Nisuin? If it was Nisuin, that would mean that the Kohen Gadol doing Yibum is a Lava Mamana, and an Essay of Ba'ula, and Ein Essay of Chalosa Sev Essay. Okay, done. But if this was just Erisin, and then the Kohen died, this is just a Lav and Almana. She's still a Basula. So now I should apply the principle of Esed El Chalos Haseh. But the mitzvah of Yibum, Bidoche Visser of Almana the Kohen God. So the Gemara says, you know what? You're right. Esed El Chalos Haseh. But the Gemara says, pretty heavy. That's only going to get you so far. Esed El Chalos Haseh is only going to be matter that which is a mitzvah saseh. Beyond the essay, there is no heter. That's only going to be matir, what is vital for Yibum, and nothing more. How do you fulfill the mitzvah of Yibum? Tosus writes, Bir Yishona. Tosus even further, Tchilas via. That's all. Wow. Even though the purpose of Yibum is the Hakim Shem L'Achiv HaMeis, and that will never be accomplished through Tchilas via, but Tosus, it doesn't matter. No? Mahalacha tchilas bi is all that Yibum means. Wow. You know what that would mean? Tchilas bi and then done. Now you have to get divorced. You no longer have esed el chalos haseh. Oh, so the Gemara says, you know what? So midaraisa, technically that would work, but midrabanon, gazru bi rishona to bi yishniyah. And therefore we insist on chalitza. Wow. So the Rashba's bother, what in the world happened to Hovi Yishtri? We're being matir birishona. And if you're matir birishona, so there's an issue of eshasach. You're matir birishona, eshasach. We don't say, now there's an issue of erva. So if an issue of erva is paka, why can't Almana the Kohen Gadol be paka? Harayos is more chamor, the Vlad is a mamzer, there's a chiyuv kares. Here you're talking about an issue of lav, and no, that's an insurmountable problem. Why exactly is that true? So the Rashba writes, as beautiful biur, that the application of Hov Yishtri, it is only in cases of Hutra and not in cases of Dechuyah. And there's a fundamental difference between Yibum vis-a-vis Eshesach as opposed to Aman L'Kohen Gadol. Yibum Eshesach is true by definition, by essence. That's not Dechuyah. And if that's true, Hov Yishtri. If you're talking about something which is doche, what is doche? The mitzvah is doche. You require the mitzvah to be doche. And if there is no mitzvah in Biyashniya, that deed would not be the case. That's the hagdara that the Rashba has of Hov Yishtri. Hov Yishtri. Well, Rabbi Chanan in the Kobet Saras from Simen Tes just adds a little bit. and this is what we discussed in the previous Shurim now, where Rabbi Chanan writes, there are even two forms of hutra. Right? There's something which is hutra, meaning that, you know what, there is an iser, but this is matir. And there's something, right? Oh, that Rashi, Brachos Tafaf, that Ramban and Torah Sa'adam, which is mamish adavar yatzam and aklal, but there's no iser whatsoever. So Bachanan just points out as follows, that in order to apply whole history to history, you have to really thread the needle. It can't be something where there's no iser. It can't be something which is duchliya. It has to be something where there is an iser, but there's a mati. And that has to be Betorah Sutra. For example, Rabbi Chanan points out the following. No. Let's assume you have a case of a Kohen. A Kohen is Matami the Krovin. A Nazir. A Nazir is Matami the Mitzvah. A Nazir is not Matami the Krovin. What would you say about the following? A Kohen who's a Nazir, who loses a relative. A Kohen who is a Nazir loses a relative. Why not apply the principle of Yishter Yishter? No? A Kohen cannot be the time of the mace, but the Torah is matir, a Kohen to the time of the Krovin. Hold Yishter Yishter, if it's matir to Maskohenim, it should be matir Naziris as well. Hold Yishter Yishter. And that would lead almost like to an absurd conclusion, no? That if a Nazir is a Yisrael, I would say, don't you dare be Matami Lekrovin. But if a Nazir is a Kohen, I would say, be Matami Lekrovin. No? That sounds crazy. No? And the Yisrael is going to say, I can't, and the Kohen can. The Kohen's never allowed to do so. Oh, that's the point. He's never allowed to do so. It's all of history. And you, who have no way, they're not. But that's not true. A Kohen who is a Nazir cannot be Matami Lekrovin. There's no halacha above history. Oh, so that's Rabbi Chanan writes. That's the Rashi and Brachos Tafav. That a Kohen being Mitami Lekrovim is not even Hutra. It's not Hutra. No? Lo Nichtav Lagabe Krovim. There's no Isser of a Kohen being Mitami Lekrovim. Ki im L'shera Karela. There's an Isser for a Kohen to Mitami Lemeis with the built-in exception of a Karo. You know what a built-in exception means? There's no Isser. There's no Isser. And if there is no Isser, how in the world can you apply a concept of all Vishtri Vishtri? Just like for Yisrael, there's no Matir. There's no Matir when it comes to a Kohen. Wow. So that's kind of like the very fine line. If something is Dechulia, it's only Matir in isolation. If something is Lo Nemra, it's not Matir. In order to apply a principle of all Vishtri Vishtri, you need something right, where there is an Isser, there's an Isser Eshazach. But Yibum is Matir this Ereshasach. And now I can apply a principle of Ishtri. That maybe again it should be Matir in other cases as well. Well, that's the Yisod that Rabbi Chanan writes. So here, like a fascinating Chiddush, the Rosh Hashanah writes, he thinks that's the Yisod of all Matir Atzor B'Shrita. Matir Atzor B'Shrita. One would have suggested that, you know what, in a Froach, Before it hatches is Aser. Before the egg, it's Aser. And all of a sudden when it hatches, there is a Heter. There's a Heter. Indeed it's Matir. Matir Aso B'Shrita. And once indeed it's Matir Aso B'Shrita, so in such a case, that is considered to be Mutter. Well, so that Rosh Hashanah writes is the yisod of the sugya, right? The notion of and whole history. Rav maintains that nefroch shenola is asa. It's asa. The Gemara says that, why do you say that indeed is true? Why indeed is that true? After all, what would you say about an egel shenola biyantiv? An egel shenola biyantiv? That certainly is mutter, no? That's a Gemara we'll see in the above in the bays. An egel shenola biyantiv is considered timata. So you see that that's not. mukta, and mukta remains. So just like when it comes to, right, an animal that gives birth, what's the difference between an egg, which is hatched, as opposed to an animal that gives birth? Ooh, so Rav says a very great Kiddush, that no, egel, muchan agav imo b'shlita. An egel is muchan agav imo b'shlita. What do you mean? That egel was subject to shlita even before it was born. Because if you go ahead and you perform the maisa shlita to the aim, guess what? There's a heter shlita for the vlad. So therefore, if that really is true, what do you mean? Nothing new, nothing new. You don't have to come out to matiratzo b'shchita. It was already made a mukhan, because it's mukhan agavimo. Mukhan agavimo. The Gemara raises an unusual kasha. No? What would you say about a case of an egel shenolad min ha-trefa? An egel shenolad min ha-trefa? That's what mukhan agavimo? What do you mean? Mukhan agavimo? A shchita's trefa is not matir b'achila. A shchita's trefa is not matir b'achila. And yet, if the egel is nolad min ha-trefa, you know what? It is mutter al yedei shchitas atzma. Wow, wow. So how do you understand the case of an egel shnolad min ha-trefa? And yet, matiratzo b'shchita. Rashi explains, what exactly does that mean? The case of a trefa. It doesn't mean that if you shech the mother and the mother is a trefa, that the vlad is mutter b'achila through that shechita. Rashi says, if it's nimsa b'socha, well, of course that's us. Of course that's us. Why is that us? Rashi says the following, because uber yerachima. We view the vlad just as a limb of the mother. So therefore, if the shchit is done to the aim that is a trefa, the vlad is not mutter b'achila in that fashion. Ooh. So immediately here at the bottom of the daf, Agos or Baruch Maranshberg, just comments, realize the application of Rashi. When we say indeed that that's true, that it means le'inyan zeh, uber yerechimo means that al yedei the shchitas ha'em, the vlad is not mutter b'achim. Because the aim is considered to be a trefa. But let's assume, for example, nola min ha-trefa. Then we assume uber lav yerechimo. And it is mutter b'shchitas atzma. Wow. So if you have a case of a vlad which is nolad min ha-trefa, it will not be mutter. It will not be mutter ayde shchitas ha'em, but is mutter ayde atzma. Wow, that's an important chiddush, no? This is a sugyan chulin, daf ayinayim ha'amit. But Rabbi says the following Kiddush. Hashochit is a trefa. You go ahead and you slaughter a trefa. And the nimtzaba ben teschai. And all of a sudden, that you know what? Ooh, that the blood jumps out. You shech the mother who is a trefa. And all of a sudden, the blood is alive and well. The blood is alive and well. That's a ben pekua. No? Ben pekua. If the mother would not be a trefa, the shchita sa'em would be matter the vlad. The only reason to do shchita on the vlad is mishumar esayim. Mikra hadin, the vlad is already shachut, because you shechted the mother and out subsequently popped his vlad, it was already subject to shchita. Mishumar esayin, shchita should be done. And let's assume the mother was a trefa. You know what? It can't be mutter al yedei shchita sa'ein. The name is a trefa. But you know what? It can be mutter al yedei Shchitas Atzma. So that's the Chiddush that Rava says, Chulin Daf Ayim Hei, Arba Simanim Av Shavei Rachmana. Unusual. You know what? This animal that pops out, it can become Mutar Ba'achila by severing four Simanim. No? Either you can do a Shchita on the Aim, and the Shchita Se'im will cover the blood. And if you can't do a Shchita on the Aim, so you can always do a Shchita on the blood. So in a case of a mother that is not a treifa, that will be a shechita on the blood. In the case of the mother who is a treifa, that shechita is not going to be matir the blood, but you can do an independent shechita on the blood itself. Well, so that's an important chiddush. How exactly does this work? We'll have to see for the next year. Take a look at the Tosos. Bava Kama Daf Mem Zayin Amud Aleph. Tosos writes the following Chiddush. But you know what? The starting point is Uber Yerechim. We view the Vlad as an extension, as a limb of the mother. And therefore the Shita Sa'im is much of the Vlad. We don't say that here when it comes to a Treifa. Yes, you know what Tosa says? That's exception. We always assume Uber Yerachimo, except for Treifa, because what does Treifa mean? Treifa means Enochai. The animal is so sickly that the animal is not going to be able to live. It's not going to live beyond a short window. Is that true of the Vlad? Of course it's not true of the Vlad, no? The mother is sick, the Vlad pops out, the Vlad can live for 50 years, no? So how can you say Uber Yerech Ima when it comes to trade? Well, so Tosfos writes the following Chiddush from Mekamed Daf Mem Zayin, that b'chol makom we assume that Uber Yerech Ima levad le'inyan trade, because when it comes to the question of trade, the Vlad has a chiyus b'chnei atzma, and therefore you cannot say that the Vlad is called a trefa by virtue of the fact that the mother indeed is a trefa, and therefore, you understand that you can perform the Maisa Shechita. What exactly is the Chiddush then? Maybe one could have gone a step further. But we don't. Maybe one could have said the following. No. Once you assume when it comes to Treifa, Uber Lav Yerachima, very mistaken, no? Normally, I'll view the Uber as an extension of the mother. But how can you say that's true when it comes to the case of Treifa? How can I say that when it comes to the case of Treifa? Because the Yisod of Treifa is the mother can't live, but the Vlad is going to live. So Levad in Treifa. The Vlad is a Chiyus B'Knei Atzmo. So maybe I could have gone the next step, but that's wrong. You know what I could have said? I could have said the following. You know what? Why can't I say that the Shechita of the Aim is Matir the Vlad? Because I slaughter the mother. Can I eat the... Of course you can eat the mother, because one is a treifa, no? Not the veda, treifa. But the vod is not a treifa. If the vod is not a treifa, why not argue that the shechita se'im is matir the vlad, no? We say that, you know what? Oh, there's a chiyus b'fnei atzmo, so ar b'simanim ach shrachmana. So now that gives you the right to being shochet the vlad. Oh, why do you say that? Why not just simply say the following? Very mistaken. That you know what? You'll shech the mother. The mother is a treifa, but the vlad is not a treifa. So let the shechita sa'im be matcha the vlad. Be matcha the vlad. Why do we not assume that that's true? Why do we only go as far as to assume? But you know what? So now we give you the ability. If the mother would be not a treifa, we would say that the Shechita Se'im is Matir the Vlad. So why not say the Shechita Se'im is Matir the Vlad? You can't eat the aim because of Treifa, but the Vlad is not a Treifa, and therefore that's considered to be sufficient. Why would one argue that's not true? So that requires a little bit of limud. And this, I will tell you, take a look in the Chiddushei HaGrizal on the Rambam, right? It's on page Ayin Tes. That's the Rambam that I mentioned to you before. No? where the Brisker Rav was asked, where does the Rambam say that a shlita shtreifa is an incomplete shlita? Not that the shlita is 100% intact. It's just that you can't eat the mother because it's a treifa. But the shlita of a treifa, which means it won't result in heter achila, that's considered to be a chisaron in the maisa, in the chalos shlita. So take a look at that piece. Because the Rambam has a stunning chiddush, and the Ravid gets all upset. Take a look at the Rambam, Avos Atumos, Perek Beis Halacha Yud. The Rambam writes like a stunning chiddush. You know what? Let's say a goyda shlita. That's no good. Osimidaraisabachim. The Rambam writes a stunning chiddush. When you do shlita typically is matir b'achila. There's another din d'araisa. When you do shlita, there's no tumas nevela. An animal drops dead. Number one, it's asur b'achila. Number two, there's a tuma d'araisa, tumas nevela. You do shlita, there's a hetra achila, and the animal has no tumas nevela. What about shchita of a goy? The Rambam writes a stunning chiddush. Even though you can't eat it, midaraisa, it doesn't have a tumas nevela. In other words, it's not that the shchita of a goy is zero. It's good for this and it's not good for that. It's not matir achila, but it's motzi midei nevela. So the Rambam has this incredible notion, you have a shchita, that it's good for this and not good for that. So take a look at that Rambam. Right? The Chiddush of the Rambam, the Kash of the Rive, that the Rive says, I don't understand, what is the Rambam saying at all? Take a look at that piece in Biskara, it'll be very, very relevant.